Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
Please find 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. I want to set the table because in just a few moments, we will be receiving these sacred symbols of our Savior's sacrifice. When you look at the price tag of freedom, it always reads sacrifice. We've identified some elements of that sacrifice today as we have thought about Memorial Day. But let me identify a few more in preparation for looking again at the ultimate sacrifice, what Jesus did on our behalf at the cross. Last week, I was with my father-in-law, a wonderful man named Sam Simmons. I asked Sam this intriguing question. I said, "Sam, what are your memories of World War II?" And he told me an amazing story. He said, "Jay, when World War II started, when the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, I was 11 years old. And we had a teletype machine at the cotton gin that we owned. His father had the general store in Utica, Mississippi, outside of Jackson. And there, to bring in orders and to relay orders, they had a teletype machine. Well, when World War II started, the communications in those days were very different. Unreliable phone service, certainly no email. But they used the teletype to relay in messages to families that lived in that area about the young men who died in World War II. As a matter of fact, Sam said that when he was a young man, 21 men died around Utica, Mississippi during World War II. He said it averaged every 7 weeks in this tiny area, a death notice. The death notice would come in on the teletype. They didn't have chaplains. And so Sam's mom, Mary Simmons, whom my wife is named for, Sam and his mother would go make that call. They would take the teletype. They would knock on the door of one of their friends in that community, and they would read that life-changing letter that said, "We are sorry to inform you that your son has died." He told me one particular story. After D-Day, June the 6th, one of his friends and a lifetime friend, a playmate, had gone to fight and was part of the D-Day invasion of Normandy. He was in the first wave, a young man from Utica, Mississippi, and he took a bullet in the neck and died instantly on those sandy shores of Omaha Beach. And the teletype came in to the cotton gin. And Sam and his mother had the horrible duty of going to that family. They had two sons. One was a special needs son who would never live on his own, and the other was their young hero, this young man who went off to fight for freedom. And he watered the plant of freedom with his life's blood at Omaha Beach. And Sam said, when the mom and dad came to the front door, the mother simply fell to her knees. And Sam's mother read that letter. "I regret to inform you that your son has died in the service of his country in the invasion of D-Day at Normandy on Omaha Beach." And the mother fell to her knees, and she had her breath taken from her. She couldn't speak. And Sam said, the hot tears began to flow, and they just wouldn't stop. And in that profound moment, he knew the real cost of freedom. You see, the real cost of freedom, don't miss it, friends, is sacrifice. That's the price tag. That's why Jesus said in Mark chapter 10, he said in verse 45, I've not come to be served. I've come to serve and then to sacrifice or to give my life as a ransom for many. That's what we've come to celebrate. You see, that is what will motivate you to serve the Lord Jesus as a soldier of the cross. You see, Jesus came on an assignment from the Father. He was on a mission, wasn't he? And he then conveyed that mission to his followers. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, not only did he come to serve, but he invited us in Luke 9:23. He said, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. His cross is a symbol of sacrifice. But let's amplify what that means. Would you find 2 Timothy 2, look at verse 1. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things which you heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life because he wants to please the one who has enlisted him as a soldier. Now, friends, to prepare ourselves for the taking of these sacred symbols, I want you to understand that God has called you into his service as a soldier. And I see Paul's admonition to Timothy as giving us admonitions to serve as his soldiers in three areas. Please observe. I want you to understand that a soldier is a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. Look again at verse 4. You see, no soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life because he wants to please the one who enlisted him. In those days, the general would enlist his own soldiers. He would enlist his own army. So the soldier wanted to please the commanding officer. As a matter of fact, that's a perfect picture of what Jesus expects of me and you. He has called us into his service. He has enlisted us, and he expects that our lives should be reordered around that commitment to our commanding officer. Let me ask that you imagine your life as a wagon wheel. And place in the center or at the hub of that wheel the Lordship of Jesus Christ, your commanding officer, General Jesus. And he wants you to reorder the spokes of your life in accordance with him being the hub. You see, Jesus is the hub. You're seeking first the kingdom of God. He's the commander who enlisted you, and you want to please him with your service. So the other spokes of your life, your family, your work, your education, your entertainment, your possessions, all of your priorities, they now reform around the hub of Jesus. You see, Jesus wants to be your commanding officer. He's enlisted you. He does not want to simply be one of the spokes where you order your life around yourself and your own ephemeral, flawed priorities. That's not the design of God. He wants you not to segregate your faith from your life. He wants you to integrate your faith into all of your life. That means Jesus is the hub. He is the commanding officer. He wants you to be a faithful follower. But in addition to being a soldier who's a faithful follower, he wants you to be a fighter. Look at 1 Timothy 6:12. Paul uses again the soldier analogy in 1 Timothy 6:12. He says to young Timothy, fight the good fight. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I've told you on countless occasions that this world, and this fallen world we live in, it's not a playground, friends. It's a battleground. And you've got to be a soldier who is willing to fight. As a matter of fact, Jesus put it like this. He called you into His service, and He warned you that in this world system, there would be tribulation. It will be hard. It will be an uphill fight. But be of good cheer because you're on His team. He's overcome the world. He is a commander worth following. He wants you to be prepared to be a fighter, not to ever give up, not to ever give in. One of the most famous statements ever made in military history was made by Sherman to Grant. In a letter that was written during the Civil War, listen to what Sherman wrote to Grant. He said to Ulysses S. Grant, "I know that wherever I am, you think of me, and if I get in a tight place, you will come if you are alive." This is the unwritten contract of every soldier, that you will not give in, you will not give up, you will fight on. Now, a good fighter knows the enemy's strategy. And we learn it in John 10:10. The enemy is here to kill, steal, and destroy. We have a real enemy who is our adversary. 1 Peter 5 describes the adversary as a roaring lion seeking those whom he may devour. A good soldier knows his weaponry in addition to the enemy's strategy. You put on that armor, don't you? The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the good news shoes, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You see, a faithful soldier is a fighter. But let me show you one thing else. As I look at 2 Timothy, find 2 Timothy 4, 7, and 8. A soldier is favored forever. Think about that. A faithful follower who's a fighter, this soldier is favored forever. Look at verse 7 and 8. We learn Paul speaking, "I fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but to all those who have loved His appearing." In other words, he's the victor, and we share in his victory. Now, if you want real encouragement, go to Revelation chapter 19, and that's the final chapter. That's the Battle of Armageddon. That's when Jesus wraps up history. And what happens there? It is an amazing moment. King Jesus rides into battle, followed by his faithful soldiers, his troops. And with the sword of the Word of God, he defeats all the enemies. He wins. And when you are on his team, you share his victory. That means you are favored forever. Now, friends, we have come to celebrate and then also to ask that God would motivate our service as soldiers. So right now, Mark and John, would you uncover this table and let me extend to you an invitation to participate? Here's God's goal. You are invited to share this wafer of bread, this tiny cup, in just a moment, if you have given your life to Jesus, if you call Him your commanding officer. You see, this is a very expensive, high-priced meal. On the surface, it looks like it's hardly anything. But the price tag of freedom is sacrifice. You see, Jesus gave His body. He shed His blood to set us free. In just a moment, the servants of this church, the deacons, they will serve you. They will serve you a small wafer of bread. They will serve you a tiny cup of juice. But it's so much more than that. You see, the bread represents the body of Jesus that was beaten, brutalized, broken for you. And then he explained the cup, the deep meaning of the cup. This is his blood, the new covenant written in his blood, shed for you. In just a moment, we will distribute the bread and the cup. But let me also issue a warning to you soldiers. You see, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11 that if you take the Lord's Supper, this memorial meal designed to trigger your great love and loyalty for Christ, our commanding officer, if you take it in an unthinking way, a flippant way, if you dishonor the Lord by being detached from this moment, he gives us a grave warning that you are eating and drinking judgment to yourself. I'm not sure all that means, but I don't want to find out. And so the Bible says, cleanse yourself, purify your attitude and your actions. And we do that through prayer. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we cannot adequately thank you enough for your measureless sacrifice on the cross. You gave yourself to rescue us. And Lord, we thank you. We express to you right now our highest love and loyalty and thanksgiving. Lord, we also have heard your warning not to take this bread and this cup in a thoughtless, flippant, uncaring manner, but instead to come to full attention, to be fully engaged with what you've done on our behalf. So, Lord, would you cleanse us? If there is an attitude or an action, a relationship that is hurting our walk with you, we surrender it. We ask that you cleanse it. Father, we want to be totally realigned with your Spirit. And we ask for this help in the name of Jesus. Amen. And they took the bread.
The victory cry. Yes, to death. Life is mine to live. Won through your selfless love. Is the power of the cross. Son of God, slain for us. What a love, what a cost. We stand forgiven at the cross. We stand forgiven at the cross.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. That's what the cross says. It's the Savior's sacrifice for our redemption, our forgiveness. Jesus, the commanding officer, he reassembled the troops one last time. The story is in Luke chapter 22. Jesus drew them into the upper room and he debriefed them. He said, the Passover meal is now being redefined. The bread of the Passover will now be linked to my body, which will be beaten and bruised, bloodied and broken for you. And every time you take this meal, every time you handle this bread, you should be reminded of what I have done on your behalf. It is the nurture of your spirit. It's the food of your soul. So as you take this tiny wafer of bread, know that it comes to you at great expense. Remember, the price tag of freedom, your freedom spiritually, is his sacrifice. And they took the bread. Then Jesus told his disciples, those first soldiers of the cross, that the cup of the Passover is now redefined. It would be the new cup of covenant. And within the shedding of his blood, there would be a new deal, so to speak. There would be a new arrangement. And through his blood, there would be redemption, the forgiveness of our sin. Jesus did something for us that we cannot do for ourselves. He covered our sin debt. He paid our death penalty. That's what he was talking about in Mark chapter 10. He did something for you that you cannot do for yourself. He gave himself on your behalf. In just a moment, you will receive this cup, but it's far more than a thimble full of grape juice. It's a sacred symbol of his sacrifice, calling you to do the same. And they took the cup. Thank you. This looks like a small cup with a little bit of grape juice in it, but it's so much more. It's a symbol of the Savior's sacrifice. He said to his disciples that this cup of the Passover is the new covenant. I want to make with you a new contract. You couldn't keep the law. You failed. And I want to be a success for you. I want to help you. I want you to share my victory. And so I want you to be in my family. I want you to be a soldier in my army. And here is what I would have you do. Transform this cup into an inkwell. And imagine that you are a soldier and your service is up and it's time to re-up. Let this cup be your opportunity to re-up. And imagine that you dip the pen of your will into this cup of commitment and you say, Lord Jesus, count me in. I'm a soldier who will serve you faithfully. I'll fight. I'm going to be favored forever because I've served with you in your army. So in this moment, my friends, see this as more than some grape juice. See it as a new contract. See this cup as your opportunity to re-up. And if you are willing to re-embrace your commitment to serve as a soldier of the cross, to sacrifice for your Savior, then join me and taking the cup.
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.